Hello, everybody. You are watching the America First pre-show. We are going to be doing a little live coverage of the Turning Point USA event happening right now at the University of Florida. Welcome to the stream. Our plans for tonight are to watch this. We'll see how it goes. I'm told, and the latest information is that there will be a Q&A tonight at University of Florida. The event will feature Charlie Kirk and Rant Nation, our old pal Rant Nation, from Blaze TV. I think that the event will probably go something like maybe 30 to 45 minutes, and then a Q&A. We'll be covering this until it finishes, and then we'll be transferring over to YouTube, and I'll be doing America First Live. But for now, we're watching, it looks like, and I'll put on the volume at a very low level so you can kind of hear what's going on. The event has not started. Yeah, it looks like the event has not started. Earlier, they were doing T-shirts. They were throwing out T-shirts. Excuse me. And things like this, doing trivia, kind of a lame warm-up. You could tell there is tension in the room. They're trying to be fun. They're trying to throw T-shirts. And clearly, there's a lot of tension. But we have, who is this who is streaming this? Simon Sasquatch is doing the stream, so give him a follow. I don't know how many people are watching my stream, but it looks like he's got 3,700 people watching his stream. Be sure to drop him a follow, Simon Sasquatch. Good friend of mine. He's down there with his wife. They're trying to get the live coverage. Once they start the official stream, I think we'll switch over to that. If there's an official stream from Turning Point USA on YouTube, we'll probably switch over to that so we have better video and audio quality. But for now, we've got a picture of what's happening on the ground here. And I'm told by Vince James, better known as the Red Elephants, that the program for tonight is that they will have two lines for the Q&A. I have it right here on my phone. I'll read it to you. This is the latest. This is from Vince James. He says, quote, "Reportedly, there will be two lines for the Charlie Kirk Q&A, one line for left-wing people and one line for, quote, alt-right people." This is according to a Turning Point USA employee who is at the event right now. And, of course, we want you to get in the left-wing line. If you are there, if you are going to ask a question, we want you to get into the left-wing line. Because, clearly, I don't think they'll be taking questions from the other line. So, just a little tip. That's the latest intel. Although, I don't know. This is all basically unconfirmed. This is from Vince, I'm sure. It's probably true, more or less. But we don't really know. I don't know if they'll go through with the Q&A. I don't know if they'll do the two-line program. That is what they tried at ASU on Friday with Dan Crenshaw, was they split it up into a line for left-wing questioners and a line for right-wing people. Hold up. More T-shirts! Yeah! Yeah! Yes, we got a T-pose. We got a T-pose up. Nice. Chad T-poser. Apologies for the sniffling. My allergies are acting up. It looks like this is happening in some kind of chapel. Does that look right to you? It looks something like... Or maybe not. But I see, what is this, an organ up here? To me, I don't know, it could just be an auditorium. I guess it is an auditorium because you've got flags and you've got a podium. But I'm a little thrown off by this organ here. To me, the organ signifies that it's like a church. I can't tell if these are pews or chairs. Right, I'm a little thrown. I mean, the stage to me looks like an auditorium stage. But the organs, and I can't really tell what's happening with the seating here. It probably is an auditorium. But I saw these, and I was thinking, is this like happening in some kind of chapel? That'd be pretty sacrilegious. I think we've got a yarmulke over here. We've got a Mossad agent right here. The event should have started by now. They said it was opening at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Maybe that's when doors are supposed to open. Let's take a look at the Turning Point Twitter account. We'll see if we have an official stream yet. Okay, looks like we still don't have an official stream. I just had a big dinner. I just had a bunch of chicken parm and pasta. So I'm feeling a little bloated, feeling a little bloat-maxed. And somebody says, Nick is actually early. Yeah, that's a first for me.
Okay, can we get a battery check?
You're good. You're
Let's
about
see.
70, I think.
Somebody's saying Richard Spencer is there. I don't think that's true.
I don't know how long the event's going to be. We may close down the screen temporarily before Kirk comes on.
I haven't heard of this. I'll check his Twitter account just for fun, but I think I would have caught wind of that if that was happening.
Plus, Vandrew brought an extra battery we might ask him for.
Yeah, I don't think there's any indication. I'm looking at his account now. I don't think that's going to happen. He's been countersignaling the Groyper thing all week, so I don't believe he'd participate in this. There is a plant for the Q&A. Yeah, I saw somebody with a Murdoch t-shirt on. We do have to be wary of plants, you know. This might be our first turning point Q&A since OSU, which was almost... Oh, no, it's exactly... OSU is exactly 2 weeks ago. So this is our first Q&A in 2 weeks. So we are open once again to the threat of a plant, some kind of a Wignat control opposition. Mossad could ask a Wignat question, but we'll have to see. It's out of our control now. We'll have to wait and see what happens, and we will respond accordingly. Somebody says something feels off. Please don't give us negative energy. We've been going strong for 4 weeks. We don't need any negativity. No anxiety. Confidence, positivity, love for God. That's what we need tonight. But I'd like for them to get started. Probably they'll start at like 6:30. That's in like 3 minutes. Yeah, don't jinx it. Please don't jinx it. No negativity. They will reveal themselves. Remember, God is on our side. Also, please remember to be optical in the chat. I remember I did get an email earlier this week. I didn't get a chance to respond to it yet, which I will, but one of the DLive moderators sent me some screenshots from one of our earlier streams and said, can you control your chat? And I don't really have too many people moderating right now. I've tried to get rid of all the naughty words, but if you guys could just sort of self-regulate, that would be all right. That would be great. I'll try and make some mods here, maybe Soviet Henry, and maybe we'll get... Ultros just donated a Ninjagini. Thank you.
Like Nick Five right now. I'm here trying to find this stream.
Okay, yeah. See, that's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about. Yeah, okay, bye. I think I just lost hearing in my right headphone. I don't know if that's me or if that's Simon's stream.
Good evening, Gators! Woo! Our chapter here at the University of Florida has been blown away by the response from the community for this event. So many people have shown such excitement.
Here we go.
And willing to give up their time and resources to support us to make this culture war the best culture war it can be. We'd like to thank the University Auditorium.
I think there's some audio problems, but it's coming from the stream. It's not coming from me. Yeah, it's coming from the whoever streamed, Simon Sasquatch is having some audio issues, but it's, I don't think that's on my end.
For their help in accommodating such a massive crowd. We also would like to thank UFPD and other law enforcement here today for their amazing work today.
I guess no official stream, huh? No official stream. Okay. At least not yet, not for now.
Absolutely. I could not continue without thanking a few more instrumental people to our chapter. Thank you to Brandon Schubert, the Mountain Regional Manager, Joanna Sixto, our Regional Manager, Christian Clemente, our Field Rep, Browning Sandusky, everyone
who just get rid of this.
To volunteer with us
Dang.
To help make this Culture War event possible, and of course, our exceptional Executive Board. Our Executive Board...
There we go. Audio's fixed.
The major success as a...
Oh, now the audio's gone.
Exceptional Executive Board, which has worked so hard to make this chapter the best and most fun it can be. Thank you to President Ashley Stoltz, Vice President Faith Allen.
Hey, you guys, is the audio better?
And Social Media Director Anthony Leonardo.
It is. We're good.
Just to think we were founded as a chapter here at the University of Florida only a short year ago. Look at us now. We have more than 400 people in here, plus all the amazing protesters outside. So thank you all for coming.
Chad laughed.
This is pretty incredible. And this is all because you have been there for us week in and week out and helped us grow to what we are today. So thank you to all of you for your support. And especially I'd like to thank Turning Point USA for supporting our chapter, giving us the resources, tools, and training possible to make an event of this size. If you'd like to get involved with us at our chapter here at UF, you can add us on social media. On Facebook, it's Turning Point USA at UF. And on Instagram, Turning Point UF with no spaces. With that, thank you all for joining us, and we're going to start in a minute.
On this. There are no lights on in the...
Turning Point USA has proudly hosted 2019 event, Culture War. On stage tonight, Charlie Kirk. Brian Allen. Turning Point USA is proud to be here at University of Florida. Let's get this started.
Kind of funky, Del.
Now welcoming to the stage, Charlie Kirk.
Boo!
Joker laugh check. Here we go, folks. Joker laugh.
Thank you. There we go. Works. Sorry for the AV issues, guys. Great to be here at University
of Florida.
Oh, AV
issues?
Swamp. So
they're not even streaming it. There's no stream.
I can't pick favorites. You know, we have Turning Point USA chapters all across the country.
Let me check his Twitter.
But I have to say, this might be one of my favorites, if not my favorite school in this great state. So
he said apologies for the AV issues. That means there's no stream. Because I'm not seeing one.
Not a good place to be at, right?
I'll check their YouTube channel.
The fun thing about Illinois, similar to Florida, but a little bit different, we have term limits in Illinois, but it's different, where instead of regular term limits, it's one term in office, one term in jail. So,
kind of racist.
Illinois is a disaster. It's a great example of how you screw up a prosperous, should be productive.
Yeah, there's no
state.
Official
really,
stream.
Really bad ideas. Illinois loses a taxpayer every 9 minutes to get an idea of how screwed up Illinois is. And so because of that, early this year, I became a Florida resident. So this is technically not...
Yeah, I see your message, Means. I see it.
0% income tax. A lot better weather, I have to say. A lot better weather, that's for sure. But it's great to be here.
Not true,
here
by the way.
When Donald Trump Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle came to this great institution. It was really amazing. I was pretty upset at the time because of how many interruptions there were. But I don't know if I was supposed to be interrupted. I was impressed.
Boo!
Really upset. There was a woman who screamed the entire time for 45 minutes. Like, for 45 minutes. I don't know how that was even possible. I mean, I was like, I want to learn from you how you were able to scream for the entire speech of Donald Trump Jr.
Not funny.
No matter what he said.
Not funny.
Like, isn't it great that we have the lowest ever black unemployment,
no.
black poverty rate?
And nobody cares.
It's really amazing. So I'm sure all of you guys, you know, might have been part of that event or been kind of there for that. But it was good to see. I was like at some point, like 30 minutes into the event, I'm like, can you please, you know, try to escort the person out? I mean, but I guess it was irrelevant now. But anyway, it's
not irrelevant, Charlie. It's going to become very relevant tonight.
Tomorrow, previously. Last semester, we were at a little school in Louisiana, LSU. You know, go you don't like it, right? I'm going to get booed off stage on that and that alone. We were at University of Georgia last semester, but we're traveling the country. Now I'm in a lot of trouble, okay. But look, we're bringing a very simple, very important message. And I'm going to talk also about some things that I've touched on in prior speeches, so this is going to be kind of an exclusive speech, and you guys will hopefully enjoy it.
There's no stream!
Three things that we believe at Turning Point USA, and they shouldn't be widely controversial things. The first thing, and you don't always hear this on a college campus, is that America is the greatest country ever to exist in the history of America.
Yeah!
Okay, yeah, all right. Why didn't you put it first, then?
USA!
America is by far the most productive country, the most entrepreneurial country, the most creative country, the most generous country. I think our generosity is actually being taken advantage of at times. I think that our generosity actually is, you know, I think that there's some, we'll talk about that in just a bit. I think that our generosity, which has always been a virtue, I think that we also need to kind of think about how we're going to not just more $22 trillion in debt, be endlessly generous when our own citizens. Half the citizens in the state of California that are in fourth and fifth grade.
What about foreign aid to Israel then? Why do you support that?
That is really concerning, and I'll talk about that in just a second. But America is a country unlike any other ever to exist in the history of the world. I mean, going back to our generosity, voluntarily, individually, our individual
this footage is very
$500 billion of charity last year. Think about that.
It's very jerky. Yeah, we can zoom out. That would be great if we could zoom out.
And so I know there are these flyers going around about how, you know, socialism is the answer.
Somebody with Parkinson's is holding the camera. I don't know what I said.
But there's some very just thought exercises, right? They want to make America a socialist country, or they think socialism is the best thing ever. I mean, just to think about, if socialism is so great, why, when the caravan decided to move, why did it go south for Venezuela, but it went north for America? Why is it that you have to prevent people from leaving socialist countries, but you never have to prevent
people from leaving
prosperous free market countries like the United States of America? America brings in half of the world's immigrants every single year. There's only 2 million legal immigrants every single year worldwide. America brings in half of those immigrants every single year. And America,
which is that.
Has the most productive companies and the most medical breakthroughs. 18 out of 20 of the top research institutions in the world are in the United States of America, and we are the ideal. Now, does America have issues and challenges? Without a doubt. I'm actually...
Why do they go to Scandinavia if it was about socialism and not race?
Sides, the right and the left, have ignored for far too long.
They leave the Middle East and go to Scandinavia. Scandinavia is social democracy. Hello? Hello, department? They go to France. France is socialist.
The other thing that we believe at Turning Point
I mean, they might as well be, right? So it's got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with the people.
The Constitution recognizes that our rights come from God, not from government. That our rights are inherent upon our birth.
Speech sucks.
The right to speak. The right to assembly, the right to express your mind. And guess what? Probably one of my favorite amendments might be a tie. I think the First and Second Amendment are both of my favorite amendments, but we love our Second Amendment, don't we? There would be no First Amendment without the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment was not put in place so that we can hunt deer. I like hunting deer, I think it's fine.
This speech is terrible.
But, there has been a pattern in Western democracies that all of a sudden go tyrannical. People that are able to defend their freedom, defend their liberty against tyranny, is something that the Founding Fathers put specifically in the Federalist Papers, that freedom must be able to be preserved by a free and virtuous people, and the capacity for citizens to defend themselves, not just against crime in their local communities. And by the way, I always find it interesting, especially on college campuses, some of the biggest advocates against private gun ownership are the feminist groups. And I say, you guys should be the most pro Second Amendment group, because that is the great equalizer. If college campuses were as dangerous as they say they are, wouldn't it make sense that you would want to be able to correctly and legally own the firearms that would make you be able to protect yourself on a college campus? And the Constitution is so brilliant because it was admitting that we were not going to create utopia. See, the Constitution was not saying we're going to try to create perfection. In fact, it was the opposite. It talked about negative rights. It was saying that we are going to protect government from infringing upon your rights that are natural upon your birth and your creation. And this is so fundamentally important because for 1,000 years or, 2,000 years, any kind of experiment in government was either a tyrannical king or queen that would allow no freedom or liberty for the people underneath them, or people would try to create some form of a utopia, like the French Revolution tried to create in 1792, where they tried Robespierre, they took over the French government, and they said, now we're going to try to create a perfect people, and people are not inherently flawed, and we're going to perfect individuals. And the Founding Fathers said, we're going to just create something that is good enough. We're going to create something that will never be perfect, but it will be good, and will only be good if the people within the country are good. And this is such an important point, because our country has been the most successful, most incredible country in the history of the world, also because of where these ideas stemmed from. And this is one of the great lies of the left. They just think these ideas came out of thin air, and the Founding Fathers drew no inspiration.
I'm tweeting about the situation.
Articulating the United States Constitution, there was some influence from the Enlightenment and from the Greek thinkers, but these are ideas that were first and foremost defended in our Judeo-Christian tradition as a country. The idea of free speech, the ideas of citizen government.
Nice, yes.
Freedom of religion!
We have a conversation about that. Booing the Judeo-Christian fabric is interesting, but you have a right to do that.
So, just Christian.
Well, don't worry, we'll have a conversation about it. The Judeo-Christian history.
There it is again. There it is.
Stop saying that!
Yes! Yes!
About it. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. it's so important to realize.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
Because the failure to recognize where you come from, then you're not going to be able to chart
so good.
Success effectively moving forward. So the third thing that we believe at Turning Point USA, we believe that the free market, or free enterprise capitalism, is the most moral, proven, and effective economic system ever discovered in the history of the world.
Oh, too funny. All right, I just sent out my tweet.
Also,
I can re-engage. Had to address it.
A very firm stance against socialism. I'm always just very... That's. Thanks for being here.
you're a clown. You're a joke.
So... what I always find so interesting.
All he can say is thanks for being here. No respect, no legitimacy.
Have you ever noticed that they're never in doubt? They act as if they're the first human being ever to discover the idea of socialism. Like, it's never been tried before. You don't understand. Well, it's been tried 100 times over the last 100 years on every continent, in every country, in every civilization possible, resulting in the death of 100 civilians. It destroyed cultures and
100
civilizations in Africa to Asia to the
100
East,
that's
America,
so many
South America. One of the most horrific things that you could possibly imagine is it runs against what human beings are meant to be, and human beings are meant to be free. And so we say very firmly that socialism is immoral, socialism is evil, and yes, socialism of course sucks. We say that quite often too. And
yeah,
the reason is that
that's lame, bro. Socialism's literally not even a threat right now.
This is free healthcare, free education, and it's very easy to be generous with other people's stuff. It's very easy to say that, we're going to be generous with other people's, they don't deserve to have $1 billion. There should be no billionaires, as what some people on the far left say. There should be no billionaires. We should get rid of billionaires. And we'll have a conversation about that, too. That's fine.
Sorry.
And it's very easy because when you look at it, then that is a...
I love it. I love the tension in the air. I love the combativeness, the open hostility from the audience. Everything about this is wonderful. You have to understand the magic of what's happening tonight.
We don't believe in the fixed pie fallacy that you can create more wealth, that people voluntarily trading with people and
just try to stick to the script, Charlie. Voice crack moment.
If you're going to get into a competition of who can give out the most stuff, that's
the Judeo-Christian thing was so epic.
What that will eventually result in is really bad people assuming power. And I always love having these conversations with socialists. I can't wait to have them later tonight, where they'll say, I don't trust the government. The government is bought and paid for by the corporations and by the rich, the few, and the well-connected, and they're just so horrible, and the government is just the worst. By the way, I want the government to run our healthcare system and take away all of our guns. I'm like, did we not? You just go on for the last 2 minutes.
Voice crack moment
to
say in the chat. Zoomer moment.
I want to stop that too.
Which segues to kind of the main drive. So there's
there's some very specific driving forces in America that I haven't touched on recently, but I want to touch on. There's five or six of them that are creating a lot of understandable anxiety, and I think both traditional conservatives and liberals have ignored these over the last 30 or 40 years.
Traditional conservatives.
Number one, the failure to end the endless wars in the Middle East. I think both sides have participated in failed foreign policy overseas. I have written, time and time again, thank you very much.
Okay, base.
That it is time to end the Afghan war and bring our troops home. We have spent $1 trillion, lost thousands of our most brave men and women, for what? For a more destabilized region. The Taliban is as strong as
for Israel. We did it for Israel because AIPAC told us to.
Across the world, for while we can't even take care of our own citizens. It's time to end the endless wars. I think the Iraq War was I think the Iraq War was a very big mistake. I think the Iraq War was an inappropriate response to 9/11. And this affects our generation.
Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11.
Our generation that sometimes gravitate towards the left, they are upset at a D.C. political class, which goes to my second point, the D.C. political class that continually makes empty promises, that does not admit failure when they come across it, and sees themselves and those zip codes get more and more rich, gets more and more
that's
power
you, though.
For themselves.
You're a part of that class. You're the rich.
Our kids, half, and our sons, our daughters, our brothers, our sisters, our nieces, our nephews, people in our family.
None of your families going across the world.
No end in sight whatsoever. And that's the second piece.
So out of touch.
The D.C. cartel.
And you're part of the D.C. cartel.
Do you know where the richest zip codes in America are?
You tell us. You live in them, bro. Your parents live in them.
They don't create anything useful. Washington, D.C. creates laws.
You know a lot about not creating anything useful, Charlie Kirk.
And coups against sitting presidents of the United States. That's what Washington, D.C. creates.
Yo, Ninjet in
Chicago,
chat?
Detroit, Philadelphia.
Hey, thanks for the Ninjet, Nathaniel Hill. Wow, incredible.
But because of, you know, bad trade
thank you so
deals,
much,
I'm
bro.
A free market guy, but I'm also not a pro-China guy. I'm not someone who thinks it's we should unquestionably sign these unilateral trade deals that has allowed
China
our greatest
check?
Enemy, China, to get endlessly rich while the middle class of our country has stayed the same, if not got increasingly
but he's in favor of free trade.
Less stable financial condition over the last 20 or 30 years. And yet the people in Washington, D.C., everything's just fine. There was no recession in 2008 around Washington, D.C. They did not see, I mean, their housing prices went down a little bit, but median income rose. They saw their wealth go up. And the richest zip codes are concentrated around a part of our country that are not creating things of value. And that goes to the third thing, which is the other side of the coast, which is, well, where's the other, you know, where is all the wealth kind of being created in our country? And this is a very serious issue, and I'm going to be the first one to admit, I don't know the correct way to go about solving this. But I think the power that is vested in some of these social media companies is very, very concerning. How they can ban people at a moment's notice. And, you know, it's a very important test on what we see on social media, where you should be able to say what you want to say and be able to even say, I might not like that person might attack me personally, and God knows there's plenty of those people. And but they should still be allowed to be able to be and have a voice. And thank you. And I'll
except
say,
for when he uses the Zionist Organization of America to call for me to get banned, right?
Some of these social media companies have grown more powerful than our own government. That actually, if you look at, and again, this is a very difficult conversation for conservatives, libertarians to have, because as
it's all boilerplate. This whole speech is just a waste of time to even cover.
We admit that first and foremost. However, when government, when Google, for example, or
it's
some of these social media
points.
Companies are able to socially engineer an election, or they're able to have 92% of all search results, this is a very, very difficult thing for us to admit, and we have to solve it in some way, especially when almost every single human being that works for these social media companies is an outright Marxist and hates the President of the United States and thinks in a left-wing fashion. What's to say that they're not going to abuse that power? In fact, we have evidence that they have abused that power. That they have shadow banned, and they have shut people down, and they have taken videos off the internet that shouldn't have been that way. And so that's the third thing.
Full moon check? Is it a full moon?
Growing amount of anxiety in our country. Number four, and this is something, and I will say this.
Is it a full moon?
I have been the most firm supporter of building the southern border wall, and I think it is...
Full moon!
Failure of both...
Yo, full moon check? Be careful, everybody, be careful.
...has been catastrophic. I went down to the southern border a year and a half ago.
Full moon, folks.
This was basically
I don't like that.
It was nothing.
We don't like that.
It was an empty chasm where you could walk freely back and forth, where kids are getting sex trafficked and drugs getting, you know, pouring across the border, and the amount of guns that come in.
That means the vampire powers at an all-time high. Adrenochrome vampire powers at an all-time high.
You know, again, the whole DACA debate right now is kind of happening in our country, and I always just say, either we are a nation of laws or we're not a nation of laws. Those laws might make you uncomfortable. Those laws you might disagree with. But illegally entering into the United States is not obeying.
You guys know
laws.
About the adrenochrome vampire? DMT.
Break the laws.
Sex slave magic. Yeah, exactly.
Break the, laws
the cube is sending its signal. Yep.
And this, by the way, this is both sides that have contributed to this. And what it does is it erodes.
Adrenochrome vampire. Have to drink blood tonight with the full moon.
It's a constitutional law in our country. And it's a very big problem. And it's not just illegal immigration. I'm going to do something that not everyone in politics is comfortable doing. But I'm going to say I was wrong about something. And this is something I wish more people did. I said something a couple weeks ago that was not an opinion that I still currently hold, where I said something on F-1 visas, where I said that F-1 visas should be given out basically to every single person that goes through the college education system. I was wrong when I said that.
Yes, you were.
I was wrong when I said that.
Yes, you were, bitch.
Being 26 and traveling the country, as I hear
we
lots
did
of different
it, folks.
Opinions, what I was trying to say, and I didn't say it, was I want the most qualified people to come into our country to come
bend
to
the knee. Every knee will
Except
bow.
I basically said that if anyone goes through, and this is my fourth or fifth point, and I will get to it, anyone who goes through the highly corrupt college cartel, then all of a sudden they should be gained entry into the United States. And that was an incorrect thing to say. That goes to my fourth point, which is I believe all of you, if you go to four-year college or universities, you are participating in a game that is rigged against you. I believe that higher education is another cartel. How many people out there are being forced to take classes that have no relevancy to your degree or major, that have two hands? You got two hands up right there. You go both hands up. You got all the hands up in the back. That in lecture halls that might be this big, how big are your classes here? 800, 900, 1100, 1200? About this big of a room? With professors that might just have a TA to hand off to the TA who's had the handoff. Hi, I'm your professor. Here's your TA. Adios, right? And they'll sell their book back to you. How many of you experienced that, where they'll sell their book back to you? And yet college tuition keeps going up. The value of a college degree continually goes down. And I believe this is a very negative cycle that, again, both sides have basically ignored for a very long period of time, that makes you go into debt, and quite honestly, makes you more likely to become a socialist voter in the future. Think about it. If you're piling up tens of thousands of dollars in student loan debt, when you are getting into debt in a way that you never thought possible. In fact, there was a study that showed that something along the lines of like 50%, or might have been 40% of students don't even know the specific number of how far into debt that they are. It's a stunning study. An absolute stunning study. And by the way, I'm not against people going to college for a very specific reason. But I believe we have too many people entering four-year college. We need more people taking gap years, more people becoming entrepreneurs, carpenters, plumbers, electricians, welders, our great military, our veterans, right? Police
it's
officers, first responders, firefighters.
You love our boilerplate talking points.
Trades. And guess what? The national graduation rate is 59%. That means 41% of people that enter college will not graduate college. I'm sure all of you know 1, 2, 5, or 15 people that started college with you, and they're not there anymore. They dropped out. It just wasn't for them. And guess what? This negatively harms minority communities as well, the black community in particular. So the black community, if you look at it, a lot of individuals in the black community are told by high school counselors, hey, you got to go to four-year college immediately. And unfortunately, they, because of the socioeconomic status on average that they're at, they take on huge levels of student loan debt. And if they drop out, they come back to, they go back to their communities, and they're actually in a worse off financial condition than when they actually went to college in the first place. And even if they graduate, they graduate with a degree sometimes that, and let's just be honest, some of these degrees have no, I mean, some of them are just fine, but I think there has to be a whole conversation of, is that the only place that you could possibly study these particular things? To actually, you know, I look at the degrees out there and I say, boy, the national, you know, unemployment rate in psychology, which is fine, nothing against studying psychology or history. I'd say if you're going to get into debt, I don't know if that's the best place to actually go into debt. I think college should be about career preparation, not ideological or life exploration. I think that college, if you guys were put first, maybe three-year college was entertained, or if we had some form or fashion of more appreciation for AP credit or online learning, then all of a sudden there would be some pushback where there's a consumer base, you guys, the students, feel the pushback against this college cartel that has done so much damage to our country and damage to you guys and your generation. And so the fifth thing that I do want to talk about, and then I'm going to invite our great friend, Graham Allen.
Rant Nation! Rant Nation!
The fifth thing I want to talk about, which is another driving force in our country, which is the destruction of the middle class. And there's a lot of reasons for this. And time again, you see policies that are not written to benefit the middle class in our country. And you look at every statistic,
tweeting,
middle class wages,
tweet check,
I mean,
tweet moment.
President Donald Trump, we're seeing middle class incomes
Yo,
go
three
up,
Ninjaginis, you know, from Nathaniel Hill, thanks, bro.
For the first time in over 20 years.
He says, okay, Nickers, got to hop on a business call, glitch about me. We'll take it easy, bro.
Trade deals have something to do with it. The amount of taxation on the middle class is significant. So, for example, all of you entry-level workers that might, you know, that you see your paycheck, you see on your paycheck the FICA tax that takes away 7 or 8% of your earnings before you even get out of the gate. That's a tax on work. That's a tax on middle-income workers. And guess what? What also happens, and this is a very, you know, this is a very important thing, that as our country spirals further and further into catering to the needs and wants of those around Washington, D.C., you see this great separation begin to happen. And guess what? It was President Trump, most unusual person, some would possibly say, a billionaire from New York, who was able to speak to the anxieties of people in Wisconsin and Michigan and Ohio, and yes, of course, Florida, that felt so disenfranchised by people in both political parties that lied to them over such a repeated and regular period of time. And so, look, I think that if we are serious about making America great again, which I think a lot of you are, and we're finally seeing some great, you know, positive effects of that, it has to begin and end with empowering the middle class. And that also means taking on the teacher unions that prevent people from going to better schools in our inner cities. That also means, and it goes back, you look at all those things that I mentioned earlier, they contribute to the decline and, in a lot of ways, the stagnation of the American middle class, which is something that conservatives do not talk about enough. Conservatives do not talk about the value and the need of the American middle class. And so, thank
yeah,
you.
Right.
Now, we will get to questions, I promise, but I want to introduce my great friend. He's a United States veteran. We love our veterans. Any veterans here, please stand.
Well, apparently they are doing
thank
the Q&A.
Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service.
We're going to get our Q&A.
Thank
you for your service. So we are going to get a Q&A, but we have to sit through more Graham Allen.
On the internet, and all of you have probably seen him 1, 2, or 200 times. Please give a warm welcome to my friend, Graham Allen.
Grant Nation. Grant Nation. Grant Nation. He's kind of short. Well, Charlie Kirk is really tall, so I guess it's not really fair.
Hey, Graham, how you doing?
Hi, Charlie.
So, welcome to University of Florida.
What's up, Florida? There's a lot more than 50 people here. You did not tell me there was going to be this many people.
Well, so Graham, you served in the United States military. Thank you for your service, and thank you to all of our amazing veterans.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your biography and your journey to know. now becoming, you have 5 million likes on Facebook. You're one of the most watched, you know, pundits out there. Tell us a little about your story and your journey.
Well, I question the intelligence of a lot of America for listening to me at this point. There's nothing special about me. I say that all the time. I am born and raised from a very, very, very robust metropolitan area of 1,100 people from Caledonia, Mississippi. Anybody from Mississippi over here? A good Christian woman is right here in the front. Look at her. There she is. All right.
You know, we should really push the Christian angle because Graham Allen's like a fake Christian, hardcore.
Just like many people,
I mean, maybe he believes in Christ, but he pushes this like we don't judge kind of shit all the time.
The only way that I was ever going to get out of there was I was going to either have to A, be a lot smarter than I was, B, I was going to have to be really good at playing a sport. I'm not very tall, nor was I very big back in the day, so that wasn't going to happen. Or you got to join the military. So, naturally, that's what I did. 6 months later, I found myself in Iraq. Fantastic decision.
Groiper waves, that's true of Gates,
too.
Formed
me
no, I don't think so.
The
thanks for the Ninja
Genie. I consider myself to be today. I look back at that time as the cool thing about the military is it not only shows you who you're not, it shows you what you can be, which is really amazing.
Wow.
And we
that's
don't give
deep,
enough
dude.
Credit to the men and women that did so much more than I did in the service, but it is truly an amazing thing. And I encourage anyone that has any inclination whatsoever to serve, please
yeah,
do, because
boy.
It changes your worldview and your perspective so much.
So Graham, then you started to make some viral videos. In your
boring.
Yep.
Boring.
So, my last studio
boring check.
Was a recruiter.
I'm bored.
Anybody ever talked to a recruiter before? Yeah.
Where's all the Joker laughing? Or? Where's the booing?
Most of you, okay. That was the normal reaction.
And even a little bit more rowdy.
The recruiting battalion thought it would be a good idea for us to relate to the younger people.
Zoomer had kind of funny, though.
And create social media accounts. So there you go. I created a social media account. I wish I could say
smack
that I had
lips.
This amazing
smack
just
lips
idea,
check.
And I woke up from a coma, and I knew what I was going to do, but that's not it. In fact, an old
I got a bigger knife tonight.
Road,
anybody?
And that led to my very first video about people that
I have this one in my drawer. We've got a bigger knife tonight.
It all kind of started off as a little bit of...
But we oppose violence. We oppose violence.
So
this is only a self-defense knife.
More.
But they do call me Nick the Knife. Ben Shapiro pretended like I was threatening him with the knife. I'm not threatening anybody. I just have this in the drawer.
A certain particular person kneeled for the national anthem one day. And that's when I made my very
Ben Shapiro was like, I'm not going to debate him. He was waving around a knife while counter-signaling me. He didn't say counter-signaling, but something like that. Machete check. Not in a threatening way. Not in a threatening way. Just in a fun, playful way.
And so I made a video about how I felt about it.
Vented with a Ninja Genie. Thank you so much.
And then the rest is kind of history.
He's also
bro optics.
Too,
yeah. He was not
playful. Smart. Playful knife. Playful.
For sure.
Sword. It's a sword.
So Graham, you've now 5 million, 6 million followers, you know, and you comment on everything. What have been some of your most successful videos and things that you've taken kind of culture stances on?
Pretty much anything to do with our great president. Normally takes. Oh, that's right. Yeah, we can give a applause for that. But anything related to one thing that I have found, and I definitely deal a little bit more, I like to say, the cultural side of things. One of my biggest videos today was about my tattoos and about people that, judge people by how they look. And
this guy's so simple.
We had 1.8 million shares, 130 million views on that video alone.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
We gained a million followers from that.
I got tattoos.
What we've created with the Dear America.
Yeah, I'm a little rough around the edges.
For some reason, we seem to be tapping into something.
Don't judge me.
And a lot of people seem to think. But for
I'm from Mississippi.
Reason, they feel like they can't express
Mississippi.
Where you go to school. Or whether it be where you work, or even a relationship. Wow. There's a lot of spouses today and family members that disagree on things to the point in this toxic climate that we find ourselves in. that they feel like they can't say what they really believe.
Imagine that.
And that's really what we're trying to do. That we find ourselves in. That they feel like they can't say what they really believe.
Imagine that. Oh, wait.
So DACA is back in the news.
Whoops. Double audio check. That was my bad. Double audio check.
60 million plus people now don't speak English as a first language. And you know, we have to end chain migration, end the visa lottery. And the president has rightly said, why don't we adopt
something floating around in my water. Gross.
And he's tried to go after now from a constitutional perspective.
Cascadians says the military wants me to die for Israel. I can't wait to get out. Shit is just as gay as you think.
So what's your opinion on kind of the flow of... illegals coming
thanks
into
for the Ninja Genie.
Kind of
thank you for coming. Thanks so much for being here. Thank you for coming.
For me, when it comes to immigration, and we've actually talked about this before, I take a more very basic approach, a military-esque style approach, and it's very much like this. If you don't have control of the military area in which you operate, then you don't have control. If we don't know who's coming in, who's coming out of our country, we don't have control over our country. Period. We just don't. I don't think that any sane American is anti-legal immigration into our country.
Yes, we are!
Since we have our immigrants, and I think it's an amazing, amazing
yes.
thing.
Yes! 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 Boo! Yeah! Shrug it off! We do oppose legal immigration.
One of those things that's what makes America great, is that it is this idea that over 300
Chief Baljink says you get what you deserve, Never Trumpers. Hell yeah,
races,
you do.
Genders, political
that was great. Great tactical boo. Perfect. Perfectly idea, executed.
And that is, we are all Americans, and I think that that's a great thing.
Yeah, okay.
So, if you're booing, don't act like leftists, guys. You'll get a chance for questions.
Oh, so you cannot. You can only applaud. No booing, just applauding.
The advocacy work you do for veterans and some of the challenges you see in the veteran community, veteran suicide.
So good. The booing is so good. That was so perfect.
Yeah, but we definitely have a mental health issue within this country.
This is going so well so far. Hopefully, the Q&A doesn't disappoint.
If anything, I think the veteran community and the first responder community, too, they get left out a lot. And God bless our men and women in blue, in red, EMS. So what we decided to do is take that fight full circle, and so we actually have the Dear America Foundation now, which its sole purpose is to, I like to describe it as the Make-A-Wish for veterans and first responders and their families. We identify needs, whether that be someone is injured on the job and they can't pay bills, or you find people that are struggling with depression that need help, or police need new cruisers, or firefighters need new turnout gear. So the Dear America Foundation goes in there, and we try to alleviate some of that stress that these amazing men and women have to deal with every single day.
So, Graham, would you say the president has made some real strides and some victories for the veteran community?
Oh, absolutely. I haven't seen this pro-military of a president in a very long time. It's really nice. Now, granted, I only served under President Trump for a little less than a year because it was about time for me to get out right about the time he was elected. But even in that very short period of time, there was a total atmosphere within the veteran community because we knew he's there for us. And
double sneeze check. If I get a third one, I get to make a wish.
A president believes in our law enforcement as well. Again, our
come on, give me the third. I don't think I'm going to get a third one.
Credit. They really don't.
No wish. Don't get to make a wish.
You can clap for that. Yeah. It's one thing to have a commander-in-chief. It's another thing to have a supporter of a president. And I think that this president shows that on a daily basis.
Well, and I've been very outspoken. I mentioned in my opening remarks that, Graham, you're an American hero, and that we should not, yes, you are, and we should not send our American heroes out to war unless we can have clearly defined victory and not have perpetual endless conflict in the Middle East. And
true.
And I think America has to get out of the business of nation building. And, you know, Graham, I'm saying this in no way does it diminish the heroes like Graham's sacrifice or service. Instead, I'm critiquing the politicians that made these decisions. And so, Graham, from your perspective in the veteran community...
Notice that he said no nation building and not no regime change. That's a big difference. We didn't do any nation building in Libya, but we did do regime change. And the same is true with Syria. And the same is true with Yemen. So, not an insignificant difference.
The military side of me wants to say very clearly that it's not the... I was a soldier. It's not the soldier's job to question our leaders. It's the soldier's job to do what we are ordered to do.
Sir, yes, sir!
That's one amazing thing that our men and women...
For Israel, sir.
If we're discussing like Syria and things like that that have been going on, I will say that there are, if you were ever in the military, you served in the military, you understand that there are so many things that, I was an NCO, there's so many things, boots on the ground, that you just aren't privy to the information. You don't know the intelligence that go behind things, you don't understand the decision-making process. But what I will say is, I'm hopeful that our men and women that are in charge of our military have weighed the options versus an endless war as opposed to pulling out and possibly a new rise come up and we have to go back. And I believe that our president and our leaders have our men and women's best interests in mind.
So, Graham, any other specific thoughts to people out there that might want to join the military, might want to serve their country, and just say... You know, I look up to our veteran community. What's your message out to, you know, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, even some of the high schoolers we have in the audience here that might want to join the United States military?
I will say that serving your country, no matter what the capacity in the United States military, is one of the greatest honors that you can have as an American. And I will say that what I did in the military,
as
opposed to people that we know, Dan Crenshaw, Medal of Honor recipients, Dakota Meyer, Medal of Honor recipients, Kyle Carpenter, and the Sierra. There you go. Yeah. My service to the country is exactly, I say this all the time, I am no hero, but
I have
the honor to serve alongside quite a few heroes, and that is something that I think that every man and woman in America should have the privilege to do.
Terrific. So, Grant, you are an American hero.
That was incredible. That was so awesome.
So now we want to get to questions.
So good.
There's a
lot of
enthusiasm around it, and we're going to have two lines, because it seems that we got a lot of people. We're going to have a line for those people.
Oh, yeah, two lines, because there's just too many people.
Or just that kind of place, and some people that disagree from the far right, or... whatever, the alt-right, whatever that is, they can go from this line. And
yes!
So that can go, we'll tell you which line is which. And then
so good, this is so good. So far, it's good.
Booing, even though there's been plenty of that already tonight.
I'm
so let's not boo when you get to your concert. And you know, we'll have a good conversation.
That was nice.
Until the time runs out. And thank you guys for listening respectfully. So thank you guys. So I think we're going to start. So much interest in questions.
Joker laugh.
All right, we're going to start here. I think this is the leftist line. Half the room goes up for questions, so. We'll start right here. Hold on, let's turn on your mic first.
Testing one. I'm an engineering student here, and it puzzles me that an organization that claims to be in my best interest in America First, pushing and advocating for bringing in the best and the brightest, which translates into hordes of legal STEM workers. Anyone who understands supply and demand will know that if you increase the number of STEM workers in an area, it creates havoc on the wages and employment of STEM workers already in that area. So why should I, Charlie Kirk, and other STEM students in the room, continue to get excited for conservative movements that would place us at the workplace before we even get there? In other words, what can your brand of conservatism
offer
American graduates besides directions to the unemployment line?
Oops. Incredible! Incredible! Groyper, number one! First in line!
Can I ask you a question? This is a follow-up. So, do you think that there will be some immigrants coming to America in the next year?
Should be no immigrants coming
okay.
in.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
So, but do you think realistically, you think there will be some immigrants in the next year?
Of course, because of people like you.
Oh!
I did say that I support the RAISE Act. Do you agree with the RAISE Act?
What's that? Explain it to me.
What the President of the United States supports immigration.
Nice.
So are you a Trump supporter?
Of course I am.
Okay, so you support the President's immigration plan, so agree on that. You want to end birthright citizenship.
I don't support his immigration plan.
Okay, well, I do, so I'm going to tell you what I believe. Ending birthright citizenship, ending the visa lottery, making English the official language of the United States, building the southern border wall so that we can once and finally secure our country from people illegally entering into the United States. I clarified earlier that I said something a couple weeks ago that I should not have said, and guess what?
Yeah, stapling green cards to the back of foreign born students' diplomas.
Right.
You said F1 was what you clarified. What you really said was you wanted to staple green cards
That's an F1 visa. So,
but you said green card specifically.
Let me ask you a question, though. Since you admit that there will be a immigrant or some immigrants coming to America in the next year, do you want those immigrants to be qualified or unqualified?
As I said, I don't want...
Because I'm answering yours. Answer the question.
Well, obviously qualified.
Okay, qualified. You and I agree. We want qualified people to come to America.
Horrible trajectory. Oh, wow. He is lovely food. Yes! Yes!
Qualified America.
That's the first question. This is why they didn't stream it.
I'm a criminology student here, hoping to either go into law enforcement or law school. I had a question about federal Pell Grants. I was wondering if you think that the federal government should give money to students based strictly on their economic needs, or do you think it should be merit-based, or do you think no money should be given out from the federal government to pay for
cringe femoid.
So it's a great question. Thank you. So in general, I call this the game of loans. So the federal government's involvement in higher education has directly been correlated with the rise of tuition. So the more federal Pell Grants, the more subsidizing of a bad product, you're going to get more of that bad product, and that price is not going to get lowered over time. And so if you look at it from a college perspective, you look at University of Florida, why would the University of Florida cut costs? Why would they? They have a record number of people that want to come to this school. They have some people paying in total full thanks to the federal government's assistance. What really needs to happen is an analysis, and people say, well, Charlie, we should make college tuition free. Well, hold on. First of all, nothing is ever free. Let's just go very basic economics. Somebody's going to pay for it at some point of consumption. You're going to print the money, you're going to borrow the money, you're going to tax the money. So this idea that things can be free or free of cost
Secondly, but whatever.
What will that do? If you think college is expensive now, just wait until it's free.
Shut up.
You look at when the federal government begins to take over certain industries. So, look at Graham Allen. Graham Allen and our
He's trying to buy time.
Incredible health care. They deserve great health care. And the Veterans Administration fails them. So they were promised free health care, taxpayer-funded health care. But when the government got involved in the VA, what you have is waiting lines. You have tens of thousands of vets waiting to, waiting for care, and they die for care, waiting for it. You have low-quality doctors and really, really high costs. What's needed in higher education is a cataclysmic
destruction.
And it has not happened in a long time. The students are actually treated as if they're more important than the administration that keeps on raising their own salaries and building more buildings.
Yeah, you're stalling, bro.
Sizes, and students continually get
filibustering.
And they're selling back their textbook to students that are already in this downward spiral of debt. And I think what needs to happen, before we pump more trillions of dollars that we don't have, by the way, into a failed system where only 59% of students that go through a higher
education graduate.
So 41%
We want another question.
Will not graduate, and they will leave with debt. That is a disservice to our students, and that's even with pumping in the federal Pell Grants and pumping in this tuition assistance. Instead, there has to be a real analysis of what is the quality of education, should we keep on sending our kids to education, and how we do that at all whatsoever. So thank you so much for your question. Thanks for being here. Hey.
Hey. Is this on?
Yeah. You're a Bernie supporter.
Yeah. I think you know I'm going to have...
Thanks for being here.
I think you know I'm going to have some disagreements with you, Charlie. I want to say, first of all, thank you for being a free speech absolutist. You've said constantly that you will engage anyone on anything, and I really hope that you won't interrupt and listen to the whole question over here. I promise.
I'll let you ask a question, not give a speech.
Yeah, right. So,
undercover Groyper?
I'm a proud American Jew. And I want to say thank you. Thank you, everyone, for loving Israel. And I want to say, though, that I am not, a socialist, okay? In the last couple of weeks over here,
what's his end game?
We've seen America First Christians and Catholics smeared. These are the same stock of people who built this country. Over the last couple of weeks, conservatives like yourself and other conservative gatekeepers have smeared them as racist, homophobic, and anti-Semitic. This could not be further from the truth, and these are leftist dog whistle tactics.
Yes!
And your organization push for the LGBT agenda, and you push for mass immigration. Now, I appreciate you coming back and taking that back about the stapling green cards to the
public. This is so good. This is so good.
Michelle Malkin addresses, but you did not address.
So what's your question?
You did not address the EB-5 visas, which you called for unlimited. So the question is, given all this, why should we trust you to be a leader in the conservative movement over someone who values America first, like Nicholas J. Blunt?
Yes! 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 Hit the T-pose! Yes!
Thank you for being here.
So, let me answer the question. And so, it's an interesting question from someone wearing a Sanders shirt, so I just gotta say that's
that was incredible. That was incredible. Best question yet.
Well before many people.
Wow. Wow.
Language of the United States. I do have an appreciation for freedom of dialogue, and I demonstrated by
incredible
the microphone to allow you to say that. And
incredible.
Remarks tonight, you look at in the past, I have not and will not attack individuals that have certain beliefs and overgeneralize them. I will not do that, and I refuse to do that. When a specific individual says something that is detestable, I will call that person out for that. And let me say this just more broadly in general. I believe that this country is the greatest country in the history of the world because we're able to have this kind of debate, and we're able to have this kind of discussion. You're able to come up, and we have this kind of civic engagement and have this kind of civic dialogue. And I have now traveled the country for 5.5 years, going to college campuses, getting screamed at by leftists, saying, all these sorts of things. And I want to say, Turning Point USA focuses on those big three things that we talked about. American exceptionalism, America being the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. The Constitution being the greatest political document ever written. Free enterprise capitalism being the most moral, proven, and effective economic system ever discovered. And then I also went through the 5 or 6 leading things that I think a lot of people here have a lot of understandable anxiety about. Endless wars, D.C. getting more powerful, the college cartel, ripping students off, social media banning. I acknowledged a lot of those things, and I'm willing to have a conversation about them.
That was incredible. That was the best thing I've ever seen.
And I talked about that. It's not just illegal immigration, and you have 23 million people illegally in our country, but also mass immigration in the legal sense, where we have chain migration.
Wow.
Visa lottery.
He will never recover from that. There's no going back. You understand
that. Any way, shape, or form make our country stronger in the future. So thank you so much for coming. I appreciate the question.
Didn't even answer it. You're done, dude. You're finished.
In favor of breaking up the companies such as Facebook,
Google,
Amazon, most tech companies?
Okay, this question sucks.
It's hard to hear back, but I think you said, am I in favor of breaking up the tech companies? Yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah, nobody cares.
So as
though.
I mentioned about social media.
Well, let's play a little jam while this question's being asked or answered.
Stretch my hands to you. Life like this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie.
We did it, folks. It's like 3 questions in and it's a victory. We did it. That one of the best events so far. I was screaming at the referee, just like Mike, looking for a bright light. We did it. What's your life like? Riding on a white bike, feeling like a hit or miss. I guess they never miss, huh? Dreaming at my dad, and he told me it ain't Christ like. But nobody never tell you when you're being like Christ. Only ever seeing me, only when they need me. Like if Tyler Perry made a movie. He's filibustering. It doesn't even matter at this point. He's just filibustering. Now you want to see it. your peace. Tell me what your life like. Turn it down to bright. Praise light. God. Jesus is king. Jesus is king, and America is first. I'm just really trying not to really do the fool way. I don't have a cool way. Being on my best, though. Lock up on a text, though. Nothing else next, though. Not another word, letter, picture, or a decimal. Wrestling with God, I don't really want to rest. So, man, it's really life like everything in my life. Arguing with my dad, and he said it ain't Christ like. Man. They can say nothing. Nothing even matters anymore. They can say nothing now. I woke up this morning, I said my prayers, I'm all doing good. I try to talk to my dad, get him some advice. He starts spazzing on me. I start spazzing back. He said, they ain't Christ like. I said, ah!
So they're the, if they want regulation, they're going
to
use
all right. Against competition. Back to the filibuster.
Secretive, not secretive, but it's a very duplicitous tool that is used by the big social media giants. As they say, oh yeah, we want more privacy protection and we want to protect our consumers. And you'll see some of the big tech billionaires go to, you know, Capitol Hill and say that. And everyone in this room should be very skeptical because they want to use government power to then prevent the next Facebook from coming up. And they want to prevent government power from preventing the next Google from rising up because they can actually comply with the government regulation with... Because they're able, I mean, $100 million in legal fees, $100 million in regulatory costs, $100 million, it's not a lot of money for a publicly traded company. But for a startup that wants to compete at the highest level, that's enough to take them out of business. And so far too often, you see these oligopolies and these monopolies use government power as a way to suppress competition and as a way to, in a lot of ways, silence entrepreneurs that might actually want to go up against them. So, does that answer your question?
All right, yeah, nice filibuster. He's stalling. That's four questions. He's stalling, clearly. This is so good. It's perfect. It's perfect.
My main question for you now is, are you censoring America First Patriots because you don't have a satisfactory answer, or for your donors who don't want the questions asked at all?
Yes. America First.
Can I ask you a question? Is that okay? Were there not two questions already kind of along that vein? So that doesn't sound like censorship.
Wow.
Guys, heckling is a tactic of the left. Don't act.
Oh, shut up. Shut the fuck up. We got you, bro. We got you.
I'm allowing people to ask respectful questions, and if you have a question, wait in line.
So good. This is so good.
The question is, you're a proponent of free speech, correct?
Right, so you have the microphone, so what would you
like to say? Wow, based femoid.
When there are people behind me waiting.
Wait.
So I was behind there. There's four people in front of me. They pushed me to the front because, I'm assuming because I'm a woman and I'm not the stereotype.
Okay, that's incorrect, but thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Nice. She did a good job. She did a very good job.
Hi, Charlie.
Wow, dismissed. Wouldn't even answer.
But you haven't answered the ideological consequences of immigration, particularly mass immigration. We know from
just question after question. He's dead. He's dead.
Given that this is true, how can we, as conservatives, bring in thousands, if not millions of immigrants and try to conserve American values?
It's a very fair question. And even the New York Times and Washington Post wrote an op-ed in the last couple of days saying that mass immigration contributed to Virginia becoming very
blue. So good. And so, it just never ends. The Griper waves, they just keep coming.
This is why I mean, there's a lot of reasons why I support the RAISE Act, why I support ending chain migration.
Are you listening yet?
Because our current immigration policies are unsustainable. And I think it's beautiful. There has to be a very... I mean,
Charlie Kirk says, this isn't funny, you sick freak. Turning Point USA is on fire because of what you've done. I know. Isn't it beautiful?
As you are, I will say this. I'm not going to disagree with the analysis of what you're saying. But I'm not as cynical because I don't believe that demographics are necessarily destiny. I believe that any individual can end up believing anything with a proper argument. So, for those of you that are booing, that's a very cynical worldview. I don't have that worldview. That worldview that you have, and you're allowed to have that opinion, is that you believe that just because someone looks a certain way, they will never end up being a conservative. You're not saying that for the people who are booing saying it. I didn't say you.
I feel like I'm being smeared. You're assuming that I'm saying it's pure demographics. Well, I'm saying non-Americans that come here don't have American ideas.
I didn't say you. I said the individuals that booed, and you did not boo. So, but I will say this, is that there was a proposition in California in the mid-1990s that heavily contributed to a lot of the, you know, disruption and a lot of the left-wing kind of swing in California in particular. So look, I think you bring up a very fair point. A point that... Quite honestly, that
so good,
had a lot of
so good. We win. Checkmate.
I'm not cynical to believe that a certain individual that does not look or come from a certain way.
God wins. The victory belongs to Jesus Christ, as always. Shut up. You lose.
Hi, Charlie. Let me start off by saying that I don't think I agree with you 100% on everything, but nevertheless, I'm really glad you're here because I'm a strong proponent of free speech. I know you are too, and I think we can all agree that everyone has a right to speak, right? So, my question comes in response to some of the homophobia, transphobia, and just general queerphobia I've seen at conservative events, in particular, most recently during the Q&A section that we had at Ohio State. My question for you is, do you feel the need and obligation to appeal to and recruit from the LGBTQ plus community? And I have a follow-up, but I want to hear your response to that first.
Sure. So thank you for being here. I appreciate it. I appreciate your
might be a plan from
so
us. Might be
lying,
right? Undercover.
Clear. I said on Dave Rubin's podcast, who's a friend of mine, that I believe that marriage is between one man and one woman. I said that. I also believe that government should never have gone into the business of marriage at all whatsoever. Marriage should have been left to the church. Marriage should have been... Marriage
libertarian take from like 5 years
that
ago.
Was within a religious context, a church or a synagogue, so on and so forth. As soon as that came within a government prism, if you will, then all of a sudden it became something that was never intended to be, which all of a sudden included tax benefits, all these other sorts of things. So let me begin with saying that. Secondly, as a Christian, holding that biblical personal view of marriage, and I go to a church that believes that marriage is between one man and one woman, I do not believe in isolating myself and never associating with somebody that also might be a gay individual, such as Rob Smith or Dave Rubin. I believe, and that's fine, you can boo the fact that I have individuals that are on our staff that are gay, but I also don't believe... I do not believe in a conservative movement that continually walls itself off to people like Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel is one of the most successful tech entrepreneurs that spoke at the Republican National Convention and received a standing ovation. Peter Thiel is an openly gay man.
I see what he's doing here.
I also want to mention Tammy Bruce. Tammy Bruce is someone who is a favorite, right, of the President of the United States. An openly lesbian individual. And so while I hold this view that government should never have gotten involved...
It's a pre-planned answer, of course.
While I hold this view that in a biblical context, if that's the discussion that certain individuals want to have, fine. But also understand Turning Point USA is a secular organization, and I said the three big things that we talked about as an organization, American exceptionalism, constitution, and free markets. But I will push back against the belief that the conservative movement should excommunicate individuals simply under...
It's got nothing to do with excommunication.
...the fact that they are gay or they are lesbian. I do not believe that should be the future of the conservative movement. Thank you very much. Thank you. Hey, Charlie, thanks so much for being here tonight. I just got a quick one for you. I'd wager that most people in this room weren't blessed with family connections netting them a six-figure salary and direct connections to the president and his family. For those of us who aren't going to be living in gated communities sequestered away from the degradation of the middle class and the gleeful destruction of everything that this country used to hold dear, immigration is not just a question of what bolsters the GDP. An immigration stance based on economics is quite literally selling out your fellow Americans.
Do you have any case for legal immigration in a time where your own countrymen are struggling that does not stem from your own economic self-service?
So I'm having a hard time hearing you.
San Francisco, Minnesota, Texas, and Florida. I believe that our own citizens in our inner cities should be given precedence and preference over people that illegally entered into the United States or people that were recently granted green cards through an overly generous immigration proposal. Now, I comment and I will say this. One of the virtues of our country is our generosity, and we should be proud of that. However, there are limitations on all things. There are limitations on resources. There's limitations on a country that is $22 trillion in debt. And our generosity
That's an economic argument, of course.
Being taken advantage of by the rest of the world. And so this is why I support the President of the United States' MAGA doctrine. This is why I have a book coming out called MAGA Doctrine, which is, for once, instead of catering to the needs and wants of the rest of the world, why don't we talk about how in Baltimore, you know, a part of the country that the President of the United States, you know, publicly commented on recently in the last couple months, they could not find one person in fifth grade that was in predominant black schools that could read at the fifth grade level. I mean, they could not read from the fifth grade, that could not read at grade level or do math at the grade level. And so that is a very concerning trend as a country where all of a sudden you're saying we can't even get our own, you know, we can't even solve our own problems in our own country, and somehow the solution will be to continually grant endlessly while we have strain on resources in our country in a lot of ways, in our inner cities in particular, in Los Angeles.
It's more filibustering. You won't answer the questions.
A serious problem right now of schools that are currently being jammed, lots of public services that are being strained. And so to answer your question, yes. And that is why I support the RAISE Act, ending visa lottery, and I support what I mentioned earlier, which is, of course, reform when it comes around the entire legal immigration system. And I do want to say this, because I think a lot of times we kind of forget about it. The wall before all. We have to build the wall on the southern border, which is where drugs come into our country, people illegally enter, where individuals that... And I was very vocal about this, and I was very disappointed by some people on the right that were very quiet about it, and I'm not sure why, but you saw 9 American citizens killed by Mexican cartels last week, and the media was basically silent, and they did nothing. And that is why I tweeted, and I believe firmly, that the United States military should go straight into Mexico and declare whatever form you want to call it, conflict on the cartels that have been wreaking havoc on our country.
Based. I'm down for that. But then don't bring them here.
Quasi-city-state governments on our southern border. The cartels that are sex trafficking thousands of kids.
Yeah, fake outrage, somebody says in chat. Exactly right.
The cartels that bring in weapons that are killing our own citizens in our cities. And so I supported the President of the United States when he sent out that tweet. And you know what was so disappointing about that? Is that the media said, oh, President Trump says he wants to declare war on the cartels. How dare you? The media was more concerned about the president's outrage about 9 Americans being killed than the fact that 9 Americans were actually killed
fake
in Mexico.
Outrage.
This is a very concerning thing. And I would say that, and I want to compliment you. I want to compliment you for bringing the issue of immigration to the front of the line, because it is a very pressing issue. This is why I went to Berkeley with armed security wearing the Build the Wall shirt and nearly had stuff thrown at me.
Whoa, wow, so brave.
With Art Del Puerto, who's one of the top Border Patrol individuals. And
Art Del what?
I wish I made the wall. I made the video about how we need the wall, and it was completely open. And I want to compliment you for bringing the issue of legal immigration. because that at times is not always given the same platform that it should, because that as well has a very, that has a significant contribution to the conversation as well. So thank you very much for your question. I appreciate
it. Thank us.
If I may, and forgive me, I'm from Mississippi, so sometimes it takes me a minute to process things the right way. I want to go back to the LGBTQ plus question just really fast, because I heard a lot of booings in the back, and there's something that I want to talk about. I heard a lot of booings in the regards of Christian conservatives associating or not associating with people that we disagree with their lifestyle religiously. And to hear you boo in the back, as a Christian conservative, I feel the need to say this. I heard you boo Rob Smith. I heard you boo Dave Rubin, etc. Don't tell me, as a Christian conservative, what my God can and cannot do.
It is a culture war. We've turned it into a culture war.
We have, I don't know if we're on time, but we'll keep going until they yank me off stage. Sir, thank you for being here. Charlie, thank you for being here, and your name is Graham, correct? Graham. Thank you
correct.
For your service. I really appreciate that. I'm not the guy who asked the LGBTQ question, but I'm sure your response would have been like, love the sinner, hate the sin, and don't promote it. Accept them as a person, but don't promote it. But I have my own question. Given that the economic benefits of migrants overwhelmingly go to the migrants themselves, migrants have a negative fiscal impact on the country, costing over $100,000 per immigrant over their lifespan. Low-skilled
migrants
have lower wages, which forces women into the workforce and destroys the family unit. High-skilled working migrants prevent hardworking Americans whose degrees were earned at American
universities
from getting their jobs in their learned fields.
This is so good.
All of this, backed up by leading immigration economists like
George Borjas
and others, is the reason why you continue to push mass migration just because your donors like paying lower wages to foreigners at the detriment of middle-class Americans who voted for Trump. I get it.
So good. It's just, it's not even fair at this point.
Mass immigration. To say the last part slowly so I can. Sure. Is the reason you continue to push mass migration just because your donors like paying lower wages to foreigners at the detriment of middle-class Americans who voted for Trump? All right, so something about the reason I support, allegedly support something I don't support because of what? Indian immigrants a year. Okay, got it. Okay,
no,
so let me just be very clear. I get attacked by certain individuals in the center right for being too hawkish on immigration.
Oh, no, it's center right, center right.
I went up to a... Some of you guys were there at a booth that
I was
individuals
there.
Had. It was this center that was funded by a lot of different groups. And I went up and I said, I support the RAISE Act. I support ending the visa lottery, ending chain migration. I said, oh, you are on the fringe of the immigration debate that we should not even have that conversation. So I don't support mass immigration. I support the RAISE Act, which Senator David Perdue from Georgia and Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas championed, and the President of the United States have championed in specific and in particular.
Uh-oh.
So again, I want to compliment you and thank you for bringing this issue to the front of the line, fourth or fifth person to do that. So there's obviously, it's a very important
sorry for the
issue.
Shaking
I'm not
cam.
Discounting that,
it's okay.
But I want to just reiterate my position that I believe in sponsoring the RAISE Act. You know how many senators support the RAISE Act? Two. So for those of you that really care about getting less legal immigrants, which is a correct thing to believe in, I hope you guys show up to every other senator town hall with the same sort
that's
of
that's a total deflection. That's a very cheap deflection.
And the changes of legislation.
Very cheap deflection.
Something that two United States senators believe in, and the President of the United States believes in, and Vice President Pence believes in. And so I also believe in what the President has said, which is to limit refugee resettlement and to have some sort of recalibration and some sort of point system, which is part of the RAISE Act of how we legally bring individuals into our country. So thank you for your question. I appreciate it.
Didn't answer the question.
Hi, Charlie. Thanks for being here. I wanted to bring up immigration as well. So if you look at voting breakdown for demographics in 2016, White Americans voted 58% Republicans. What people here might be surprised to find out is that that includes every age range, including millennials. White American millennials voted majority Republican. If you look at every other age range of black and Hispanic voters, they all went Democratic. So my question to you is this. When are these other groups going to start voting Republican?
That's perfect. That's exactly what we said yesterday on the show.
Demographics are not destiny.
I believe that the earlier observation
that mass immigration, uncontrolled mass immigration, is a very fair point that the New York Times and the Washington Post gloated about how they turned Virginia into a once blood red state and then into now a deep.
It's just a bloodbath. This is worse than OSU.
Let me ask a question that is an interesting thought exercise. Why do Cuban Americans who are Hispanic vote so conservative?
That's not the same thing. I'm from Miami, and Cubans are way different than Hispanics, baby. They're way different. And younger Cubans are voting Democrat. It was reported by the Miami Herald.
So you're like 19 and 11. I have a question. Why is it that Cubans overwhelmingly vote conservative or Republican?
It's 54%.
In a country of 360 million people, how many Cubans do we have here voting?
Wow, thanks for the five Cubans. You're going to make sure we win an election.
Dude, shut up. Somebody tell the cameraman to stop.
Let me just say this.
It's crazy.
Cubans would be traditionally categorized as Hispanics. So allow me to contribute to this.
He's just lying.
Allow me to answer without being shouted at. So here's the thing. I do not believe a certain individual's melanin in their skin or where they come from dictates exactly how they're going to vote or what they believe in the future.
That's just not true. You don't have to believe that, but it's just completely wrong.
And I will say this. I will contribute to this. Something to think about. I'm not discounting your question at all whatsoever, but we disagree just on that. I'm not as cynical as you are. I will say that
I believe that conservatives have
done a poor job of communicating our values and going into these communities where I think that we can do a much better job of winning the Latino community and the black community. You don't think so. I do think so.
Bruh. Boomer talking points. Boomer shit.
You're wearing a MAGA hat. So you support or you don't support and going to New Mexico saying that we're going to win the Latino vote. Do you think President Trump is right or wrong?
I think he's wrong. He's not going to.
Okay. I think President Trump is right. And so thank you very much.
Yep. He's just getting eaten alive.
Hi, Charlie. Hi, Graham. Thank you for coming. Graham, thank you for your service. I do appreciate it. I just want to clear something up. I am a Cuban American, and I am white. I'm not Hispanic.
Nice.
I just want to ask, do you think white people are being unfairly treated in this country with affirmative action and things like that? And do you think that's going to get better or worse as we become a minority in this country?
Okay, so I think I
heard hell yeah.
Which is
Cubans coming out.
White people are being unfairly treated in America. Okay, so let me start with this. And I was going to mention it in the opening
this
remarks.
This is so good.
This pervasive
12 questions.
On college campuses,
and like all of them are ours.
Been very vocal against of white privilege. It's a racist lie and it's a divisive lie. And it needs to be ended. It is a hyper-focused point on race. It is the left trying to believe that if certain individuals have some form of melanin in their skin, they either have more privileges or some sort of privileges, or they have more access to or a higher likelihood of success. This is designed to divide us. And it is wrong, and it is racist, and it should be rejected. Number two. I'll take a broader point. Affirmative action is equally as racist. Affirmative action is racist against Asian Americans, and it's racist against white people. It's racist all across the board. And so, but I will say this, though. I'm not saying you're saying this, but I'll just contribute this to the conversation, okay? Not saying it's you, but some people... Brandon, I want to talk to you. Thanks, man. No, you're good.
They try to get that guy out of the line.
Not you, but some people that have come to some our events previously, and I don't know if any of them are here, use the kind of white privilege lie and the affirmative action
talking about us,
policies
I think.
As an excuse to create a fringe white identitarian movement.
There it
that
is.
That is evil.
Bullshit.
And that is wrong.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome, awesome.
Why do you have black leadership summits?
Of which to believe that we are going to solve the division in our country where the saying of our country is under the Latin phrase e pluribus unum.
Oh, give me a break.
By creating
that's not what that means.
Nationalist group is evil and incorrect. While I admit...
That's not what e pluribus unum means. It means out of many colonies.
They're kicking this guy out of the room.
Affirmative action, so on and so forth. And I'm not saying you believe
are they kicking you out? Why are they kicking you out?
Because I yelled when everybody else in the room yelled. I got loud when the whole auditorium got loud, and then when everything quieted down.
Hey, Charlie.
Let's refocus.
The name Turning Point for me is kind of hopeful, because my family and I have watched for decades as Republicans have made continued concessions without any gains. Only... Over time, they only lose and they never make any steps forward. For example, Republicans today have all but abandoned the traditional American values that defined the party years ago. Along the same lines, decades ago, Republicans promised that open immigration policy would not cause demographic shift. And they were lying. As it is evident today that open immigration policy does cause demographic shifts. The only thing Republicans seem to stand by is an unwavering devotion to Israel.
I mean, it's true, but can I get an optics check on that?
Which is shrouded in some mysticism that peons such as myself can't seem to understand. My question for you is, how would you propose
kinda
we
cringe.
Reverse the trend of concessions by the Republican Party?
Okay, so first, thank you for being here. Can I ask you a question? Are you a supporter of President Trump?
I'm a supporter of some of his policies.
Okay, fair enough. That's fine. So,
this guy's
how do you get the Republican Party to hold their promises? I love civic action. I love the fact you guys are here. The bullying, whatever, that's fine. You guys have a right to do that. I love the fact you guys patiently wait in line. I hope you guys go to the next town hall for your two U.S. senators and your congressmen and have that same kind of energy,
this is a total
the same
deflection.
Kind of dim and bigger, because they're the ones.
He just doesn't want to be accountable. He just wants to say, "I'm not a congressman,
right.
So go be your congressman." I'll continue doing damage by manipulating young minds.
You can say I agree, I disagree. We've had some of that one.
So cringe that question, but the answer is
I'll get to the Israel thing in a second. I think that's okay. We'll get to that in a second. I agree generally that we've been betrayed. We've been betrayed. We were promised a wall. We have no wall. The president has done everything he possibly can to get it by declaring an emergency declaration. We've been betrayed by borrowing $1 trillion this year by a Republican Senate and formerly Republican Congress. The president has done whatever he can to try to balance the budget. We've been betrayed time and time again. So if that is your question, then absolutely. But I'll tell you, and I'm going to appreciate you being here and say that it's a good thing that you guys, you know, came here and that you wait in line. And boy, if a congressman had to answer these questions, that would be a
stream.
Thing.
The TPUSA guys came up to us and said that they're shutting down the rest of the questions, and that's the last question.
Nice!
Because that's what
then
the
we win.
Fathers put in place. So when I say
decisive
the
victory.
The Constitution is the greatest political document ever written, part of the Constitution is citizen government. Citizen uprising, when you say this is wrong, like there's something going in the wrong direction that we have to stop. And we can agree on some of the root causes, and we'll disagree on others, and we've kind of talked about some of those today, and that's a good thing. But about to the Israel thing, I'm not really sure what the question was.
Thank you so much for streaming it, man.
I mean, you said you don't support the president's view of Israel, I would imagine.
No.
Okay. Got it. That's all I wanted to know.
I would ask, why do you think the only policy that Republicans have stood by is a devotion and allegiance to Israel?
Well, so let me ask you a question. If that was true, why didn't George W. Bush move the embassy to Jerusalem? If that was true, why didn't H.W. Bush move the embassy to Jerusalem? If that was true, why didn't George W. Bush recognize the Golan Heights? If that was true, why did George W. Bush, why did he do nothing when the Israeli government...
We fought the Iraq war. Was that not enough?
If it's true, why is President Trump, who had no official fundraising apparatus, basically leading up to the election and was a billionaire from New York and sees things as they are and defies conventional wisdom. Why is he the most pro-Israel president in American history? What's your theory behind that? I want to hear your theory why you think he's so pro-Israel. Why do you think Trump is pro-Israel?
This guy sucks.
Because the vast majority of large money donors are Jewish.
Wow. Okay, so you think guys, Trump, so what you're saying is Trump is a sellout, is what you're saying.
All Republicans are sellouts in terms of Israel.
Okay, so you think President Trump is a sellout? I think
this guy's ruining it for us.
I think he did the right thing to recognize Israel as a sellout.
Wow, congratulations, fucking idiot. What an idiot. Yeah, that guy was a plant, obviously.
Listen to the last question.
Oh, yeah.
All right,
come on.
Okay.
No pressure.
Thank you guys for being here.
Way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. We still won, but that was so unnecessary.
You claim to be a supporter of free speech and the marketplace of ideas.
Okay, here we go.
Go out here and debate socialists and be calm with them even when they're screaming in your face and destroying your property. But what I wanted to ask you about is your recent firing of Ashley St. Clair.
Saved by the femoid.
She was one of your ambassadors, and she was fired simply because she took a photo with the host of America First, Nick Fuentes.
That's me!
He's a very vocal critic.
America First! America First!
Can I ask you a question?
Can I finish the question first?
Yeah.
He was a very vocal critic of your organization, and I wanted to ask you, don't you think this is kind of contradictory to free speech? Don't you think this sends a message to all the other members of Turning Point that if they engage with critics or, you know, the wrong ideas, that they'll get the same treatment that Ashley did?
So if I was against free speech, why did I just give you the microphone?
I just said that you're allowing
us. If I was against free speech, I just took questions all night. Let me answer the question. So that incident was handled internally. I mentioned that at a previous...
What a joke this guy is. What an absolute clown.
And not in a good way. Much else that I can contribute to that. Ashley St. Clair is a great person. I have nothing negative to contribute, except that we didn't fire her. She never worked for us. So, and we are a organization, as exhibited tonight, where you're able to have a marketplace of ideas, different opinions, different worldviews, able to clash.
Yeah, just disrupt. The event's over. Disrupt.
And we had some really good constructive dialogue tonight. So thank you so much for being here tonight. I appreciate it. So
didn't answer a single question of ours.
I want to thank everyone for coming tonight. This is what makes our country so great. I hope all of you that might have agreed or disagreed, take that energy and that enthusiasm and go to your local official and representative and make them
how pathetic, how absolutely pathetic for him to say that.
Your voice matters. We're the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. The Constitution is the greatest political document ever written. Thank you guys so much, and good night.
America first!
Very good. There we go. Okay, so it's like the fence is over. I don't want to dox anybody here.
Hey, nice birth, man.
Well, there you have it, folks. That was our event at University of Florida. Couldn't have gone better, I don't think. That one, there was one question, obviously, towards the end that kind of cooled the vibe a little bit, but the femoid, but hey, saved by the femoid with the great question about Ashley St. Clair. I counted, and I don't know if my count is exactly right, but I think we had something like 13 or 14 questions, and it looked like all except for two of them were from Groypers. Almost all of them about immigration, a couple about free speech, a couple about LGBT. This went perfectly. A decisive victory for the Groyper Nation. Decisive victory for America First. You could see even their tactic. Their tactic was twofold. Number one, form two lines. The other tactic, they weren't going to stream it. Obviously, one of the girls pointed out that they were moving people around in the line. All their countermeasures failed. We got the stream. We filled up the line. You know, we circumvented this dual line and the moving plants ahead of other people, moving or profiling people based on their appearance. So we've resoundingly defeated them. This is their second to last event in their tour. Tomorrow, of course, they will be at North Carolina. They'll be at North Carolina State University for their final trip or their final event in the Campus War. Or what is the stupid name? The Culture War Campus Tour. Their last stop will be tomorrow. So we'll see you tomorrow at North Carolina. I'll be streaming it once again here on DLive. We're about to transfer over to America First on YouTube. So I'll probably end this stream. I'll probably take like 10 to 15 minutes to get my notes together and everything. And then I'll be back on YouTube. I'll be posting the link in the live chat here on Twitter and on Telegram. I'll try to post it in all three places. But, I mean, you know to find me. Just go to YouTube, Nicholas J. Fuentes, America First. And I'll give you my full thoughts on this evening on the show momentarily. But, and I have to say, to close us out, we can get some Joker music going. We'll get some Joker music going and do a little celebration. You know, like I said, honestly, I think this is one of the better events we've had yet. Because understand, we had, what was it? We had OSU 2 weeks ago. We obviously had the Dan Crenshaw events last week. We had UCLA yesterday. And every Turning Point event that they've done over the last 3 weeks has either been controlled in the Q&A or disrupted. We forced them off the stage. You know, I was going to say at the outset that it would have been a victory in itself had we just force them to not stream the event. You know, if it might have not have gone very well, but at the bare minimum, we had forced their hand in not streaming the event because they knew we would be there. I would have said that was a victory. But, I mean, just reading through the questions in the notes, the first question was by some engineering student who just blasted Charlie Kirk about STEM workers. The second question was not ours. The third question, I only wrote down epic. For the third question, I only wrote down epic, so I don't have... I think that was the one where I was named, and it was the Jewish guy. I think that's what epic signifies. The fourth question was another stalling one about social media. And I think everyone after that was ours. A girl called out the line manipulation, asked about censoring America First. The sixth question was the ideological consequences of mass immigration. Seventh question was about free speech. Eighth was about LGBT. Ninth was about GDP, immigration. The tenth question was about the economic impact of immigration, called out as donors. 11th was about demographics and when are they going to start voting Republican. 12th was about affirmative action. The 13th was the Israel cringe. And the last one was Ashley St. Clair. So it was a veritable barrage, wave after wave, groiper after groiper, being sent in reinforcements. Two lines, one line. How about I'm doing none of them? It was incredible to see. And with one exception, every single question was exactly on point, exactly what we said it should be. I think we have safely dispensed with some of the Israel fixation. If we had one or two Israel questions, I think that would have been fine in here. There was one, it was just poorly executed. But, I mean, we followed exactly the game plan on this one, and that means it was a big victory. So I think Charlie Kirk is flustered. I think Don Jr. is listening. I think the conservative establishment is listening. The press is listening. I know they're watching this. They watch the stream tonight. And they're listening to us. They're listening to America First. And moreover, the optics on the questions couldn't have been better. Not only because we had a mix of women, and obviously we had a Cuban and a Jewish person. So that optical part was great. But also, virtually all the questioners reiterated their support for Donald Trump. Said they were Christians. They called out the smear campaign. They called out leftist tactics. You know, so I think we really, in a like miraculous fashion, we hit every note that we needed to hit. We hit the note in terms of substance, in terms of the questions themselves and the policies we were asking about. We hit the note in terms of getting, I think, a multi-dimensional attack, you know, that it was focused on issues like immigration, and there was also some variation with affirmative action and LGBT. We hit the note on the optics of supporting the president and calling out the tactics. I don't think an event like this could have gone better. You know, the audience throughout the monologue was respectful, but also heckled when Charlie Kirk is being hypocritical or not conservative. I think we're victorious from this one, and we will move along tomorrow. Tomorrow's our last Turning Point event before SAS. Hopefully we can end on a high note, end on a strong note. We'll have to do some strategizing about how we're going to finish it off tomorrow, how we're going to finish the job. But I would say this is a job well done. Another decisive Groyper victory. We've got people in their chat saying congratulations. Good job in the background. It's another decisive Groyper victory. I think we will say at the end of this that we have won the Groyper War, and this is just the beginning. Just the beginning of 2020. We've got our Joker soundtrack playing in the background. I will have that play us out. But like I said, remember, don't forget that we are on America First on YouTube momentarily. I'll post the link in the chat. I'll post it on Twitter and Telegram. But thanks for watching. Thanks for the lino. Hope you enjoyed the stream. Hope you're excited and white-pilled as I am. We'll see you in 10 minutes.